It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Are you a bird watcher? Maybe you want to see if you can track a certain species. Maybe you're interested in frogs and toads, or maybe you want to count the deer population in your area and see how many have chronic wasting disease. The state of Wisconsin will help you do all that as part of their Citizen Scientist program. The Citizen Scientist program allows people to track data that might be of interest to the state agency. Many states have it, and it's not just about wildlife. NASA even has a Citizen Scientist program. Are you involved in data collection as a citizen? What projects have you been on, and what would you like to monitor? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We have two people from the DNR in studio with us. Susan Frett is a research scientist at Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, which is what DNR stands for. She coordinates Snapshot with Wisconsin, which is a volunteer project for wildlife monitoring. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And Eva Lewandowski is the citizen-based monitoring coordinator for the DNI. Eva, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
So, Susan, let's start with you. What is citizen science?
Sure. So citizen science is a way for interested people to get involved in collecting scientific information. And I know that, you know, a lot of people are really interested in what's going on around them and wanting to help out and learn more. And I think Eva would be good to
I described in my opening, you know, I'm sitting in my car, or standing there on the road listening for the owl, marking down how many times I hear the owl, driving 1 mile to the next station to listen to another owl. How am I collecting this data? How am I writing it down? Am I putting it in some sort of electronic machine, app of some sort? How do I know where to go?
Right. Well, that's a great question. So in Wisconsin, we have literally hundreds of projects that people can get involved in if they want to join a citizen science project. We run about 25 of those at the DNR, and those tend to be the major statewide projects. And each one of those is completely different, different methods, different ways of collecting the data and submitting. If you want to learn more, you can certainly go to the website of the Wisconsin Citizen-Based Monitoring Network, which is kind of a mouthful. So it might be easier just to go to the DNR website, which is dnr.wi.gov, and search for volunteer. And you'll be able to find links to all the projects, as well as, again, in Wisconsin, we're really lucky to have this statewide network, the Wisconsin Citizen-Based Monitoring Network, which is not just the DNR, but a partnership of 180 to 190 different groups and monitoring projects.
Interesting. Yeah, I looked at the map, and there are literally dots all over the state where you can be a citizen scientist. Citizen-based monitoring has been going on for quite some time. The North American Bird Phenology Program, which is a network of volunteers, collected information in the 1800s. Mm-hmm. How long has Wisconsin been utilizing crowdsourced data?
Well, for a very long time, we participated in the very first Christmas bird count, which is maybe a project that some of your listeners have heard of.
I've heard of that. Yeah. I think I've covered that before. Yeah. Talk to me about what that is.
So the Christmas bird count started in 1900, and Wisconsin was one of the very first states to participate. We had volunteers in 1900, and you can actually go online and look at the data from 1900 and see what birds people saw around Christmas that year. Interestingly, the Christmas bird count was around prior to that as something called the Christmas bird hunt, where around Christmas people would go out and just shoot as many birds as they possibly could. And this was a nationwide thing. And around 1900, more and more people were being concerned about conservation and interested in science. And so a group of people throughout the country got together and said, why do we have to shoot these birds? Let's just collect data on them. Let's use this for science. Let's count all the birds that we're seeing. And it's been going on ever since. It's a huge project. Again, it happens right around Christmas. And that was really one of the first documented instances of citizen science here in Wisconsin, but we've been using it in many, many capacities ever since.
So 1900, that was around the time of Teddy Roosevelt, who was a hunter and also a conservationist. Susan, I find this interesting that conservationists changed the history. They changed the way the people in this country did things on Christmas with these birds.
Sure. you know, and there's a long history of hunters being conservationists. Mm-hmm. That's really, you know, important for the state of Wisconsin to this day. You know, hunters are great conservationists. Yes. And really care about the critters and the landscapes.
We even have some projects, some citizen science projects run at the DNR that are specifically geared for hunters. Mm-hmm. So if you're going out and deer hunting, for instance, there's a data form that you can take with you. You can write down all the other wildlife that you're seeing. So we know that our hunters are playing a really big role in this movement.
That's totally fascinating. You were just listening to Eva Lewandowski and Susan Frett of the DNR Citizen Science Program. Conservation, this show actually stemmed from the recent turtle migration that is happening in Wisconsin. DNR asked to report sightings and collect data. So first of all, tell me about the turtles. Who can tell me about the turtles? Okay, Eva.
So one of our major projects, again, it's a statewide project, is the Wisconsin Turtle Conservation Project. And it's one of the easiest and most beloved of our projects, because all it really is if you see a turtle, report it. And especially if you see a turtle crossing the road, report it to us. And almost everybody in Wisconsin has seen a turtle crossing the road at some point. Unfortunately, oftentimes you see the turtle that hasn't successfully crossed, right?
Yeah.
It's been killed, or it's cracked or smashed. And that's upsetting. And of course, we don't want that to happen. Some of our turtles are in need of conservation assistance. They're in decline. And so volunteers from the public can really just take a couple minutes of their day. If you see a turtle, note where it is, and let us know. You can snap a picture, you can submit that information online, and then we can use that information to identify places in the state that have really dangerous turtle crossings. So maybe there's an area of a highway that a lot of turtles are being killed on. We get many reports. And we can partner sometimes with the Department of Transportation or with local groups to actually make changes to those roadways to protect the turtles.
So if I'm driving and I see a turtle crossing the road, my instinct might be to park and get up and take that turtle and put him across the road for him. Is that not a good thing?
If you can safely do that, you're certainly welcome to do that. But safety should always, your own safety should always be your top priority. We don't want anyone to be injured because they're trying to save a turtle. And unfortunately, we know in Wisconsin we have occasionally had instances where people try to help wildlife and they're injured or even killed. And so your own safety should always come first. But, you know, even just 2 weeks ago, I was driving up to an event for work and a colleague and I saw a turtle on the side of the road. It was completely deserted, you know, backcountry road. We hadn't seen another car in 15 minutes. And we're like, we pulled over, we looked around very carefully. The turtle probably would have made it perfectly fine without us, but we got out and we helped the turtle to the other side of the road. So I know a lot of people like to do that. And again, your own safety should come first. But if you can't help it cross safely, at the very least, let us know where you saw. Take a picture or just report it. Write down what it looked like, because that information is incredibly valuable.
So I'm really interested, Susan, in the whole we need to identify where it's not safe for turtles to cross a road. And what is the highway department going to cooperate in this? There are the people who live around the area who travel these roads. Are they going to cooperate? And how do you make it safe? Do you build a bridge for the turtles? Do you kind of, like, you know, how do you tell them to cross the road safely?
I think that there's definitely different techniques that you can use. If there's planned road construction in the area, you could, and you know it's a high turtle crossing area, you could add a culvert and then some fencing to help the turtles find their way to the location where the culvert is so they can cross under the road.
Yeah.
For larger wildlife, there's been bridges that they'll build over for things like elk and bears and everything else. But definitely the DOT will cooperate and different
places. And the turtles will cooperate. I mean, that's the fascinating thing to me.
Yep.
Like, you can herd the turtles into where you need them to go.
Yep, yep. If you have the fencing to keep them, to sort of make them cooperate,
We are talking about citizen scientists and how the DNR uses data to collect information. About how many people participate in this, Susan?
I think Eva probably has a great idea of that number.
No, that's okay.
How many people participate in this?
So we have a conservative estimate of about 13,000 people participating per year, but not everyone participates in the DNR projects. So there's lots of other projects that we might have even more volunteers that we're not aware of.
And this sounds like something that would be good for kids. We will talk about that in a moment. We are talking about the Citizen Scientist Program, how the DNR uses data collected by residents and tourists, how you can get involved. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, and tell us what you think of this project. It's the Morning Show. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Chances are when you see people out in nature tracking birds or taking pictures of weeds or tree rot, you are encountering a citizen scientist. Almost every state and the federal government has a program that allows people to collect data to help advance science. Wisconsin's Citizen Science Program is administered by the DNR. Susan Frett coordinates Snapshot Wisconsin, a volunteer-based project for wildlife monitoring at the DNR. And Eva Lewandowski is the citizen-based monitoring coordinator for the DNR. They are in studio with us, and we are taking your calls. Have you participated in one of the DNR's monitoring projects? What was your experience? Does a background in science matter for collecting data as a citizen? Why or why not? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We've got Gary from Boscobel. Welcome to the program, Barry. Now, Gary.
Thank you very much. I want to put out kudos to your guests for their concern and their involvement in the Citizen Science Program. Excuse me. I have been involved in monitoring native prairie plants for about 45 years, starting back in the 70s, and filled out hundreds and hundreds of forms reporting locations of rare and endangered prairie plant species, many of these on roadsides and on actually state-owned DNR properties. And many of those sites have been completely destroyed by the cornification of our landscape by grain farmers and road construction and clean farming and stripping out fence rows. And on state properties, a lot of the rare and endangered prairie plants are disappearing due to climate change. I don't know if your guests are allowed to say climate change on the radio, but the idea of monitoring and reporting changes in our environment and rare and endangered species is one of utmost importance, but there seems to be no direction that can be taken to protect these species. It seems like we can only look at our record and say, well, this is where these species were and now they're gone, and there seems to be no positive direction that we can take to protect the species that we're monitoring and that are losing ground rapidly due to urbanization and agriculture and climate change.
I'm going to put this question to the people who are in the studio. First of all, can you guys say climate change? Is this an issue? Yes,
we can say climate change. And in fact, some of the projects that we deal with are interested in seeing how our species might be, our distributions of our species might be changing due to climate change and how we can work to take that into account when we're doing conservation.
So his point, though, is that nothing actually can get done. That you know, we're essentially taking data to watch the decline of these species. Speak to that point.
Well, you know, I think Gary has an unfortunate example. I would say that that's not representative of the results of our citizen science projects as a whole. Part of the issue with what he's described is, unfortunately, he's dealing with plants which have less protection under the law than animals do. Mm. And so there's less protection for plants, especially on private lands. So it sounds like that's oftentimes what he's seeing, is he's reporting things. But if there's no legal protection, we can't do as much. But, we definitely have great results coming in. We're not just taking the data in and looking at it and then putting it in a filing cabinet. We are using this for our management and our conservation decisions, as well as sharing it with university partners, nature centers, the volunteers themselves. I can give a plant example of a time where we were actually able to use a report that came in from a concerned member of the public to make a difference. So we have a rare plant monitoring program, and we had a report come in of a federally threatened little orchid up by Oshkosh, and the people said, hey, this orchid is here, but there's lots of invasive species coming in. If you don't come in and do something with it very quickly, these orchids are going to disappear. The invasive species are just going to outcompete it, and it's going to be gone. We got that report. We acted on it very quickly. We were able to get some additional funding from, I believe, the federal government, and go out and do a prescribed burn. So we were able to burn away the invasive species and improve the habitat for that, very rare endangered little orchid. So there are times when we can help plants, but it is certainly easier with animals just because of the way the law works.
We are talking about the Citizen Scientist program administered by the DNR. We're taking your calls. Are you a citizen scientist? Have you participated in this? Do you want to participate in it? Does it sound interesting? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. I want to talk about how to get involved. Is it really time-consuming to do this, Susan?
It doesn't have to be. The program that I coordinate, Snapshot Wisconsin, that involves a commitment, but what we're asking people to do is attend a training and get a free trail camera to put out for wildlife monitoring, and then the volunteer just puts the camera out, checks it at a minimum 4 times a year, and sends us the pictures from the camera, so it's not that time consuming for them. If they get a lot of photos, it might be time consuming to go through them all. Right. But it's really, people love to see the wildlife photos. And there's lots of examples that...
So if I do this, I get a trail camera, yeah, and I can go anywhere I want, or you're going to send me out to specific places where you want to collect data?
Actually, we want this data from all over the state. And the volunteer signs up for the property that they own or have access to through, whatever arrangements. And so they put the camera out where they want to put it.
Okay, interesting. And then what happens to this? You get wildlife photos.
Yep, we get wildlife photos, and we use that information for wildlife management decision support at the DNR. And people can actually go online and help us classify those photos as well. So it's a great opportunity for people who maybe can't get out due to disability or whatever. They can volunteer from their own couch. So it's a fun way to help out. So,
So you have seen a number of youth involved in this. Do kids kind of, this is a way for kids to get out into nature?
Yeah, we through Snapshot Wisconsin, we have specifically targeted enrolling educators across the state over the last 2 years. We've got 280 some educators participating in our project, hosting a trail camera either at a school property or nearby. And on average, they each have like 24 students each. So we've been able to reach thousands of students across the state. And students of all ages can get involved in all different kinds of citizen-based monitoring.
Ava, when we think about science, we think about sort of rigorous scientific methods. And you're putting some of these methods in the hands of people who have not been trained. So is this data reliable? How do we know that it's reliable?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, anytime you're doing any sort of data collection or scientific research, you have to be doing quality control and quality assurance. And it doesn't matter whether it's with volunteers or professionals or student interns. You have to be looking at the data that are coming in, seeing if there's any red flags, if anything jumps out. And we definitely do that with our citizen science data, just as we would with anything else. We look to see if there's something that's unusual that we might need to follow up on, send a DNR staff out to double check an observation, A lot of our programs also require some sort of photo voucher or perhaps a song voucher if it's a frog or a bird, you know, some sort of evidence. The water programs, people will submit water quality samples. And, you know, a lot of these volunteers are trained. Most of our projects do have a training that they go through. And many of the volunteers have been volunteering for 20, 30, 40 years. They're extremely qualified. And in many cases, they are the leaders in their field in the state. They know as much as a professional biologist might.
We are talking about the Citizen Science Program at the Department of Natural Resources. Two people from the DNR are with us today. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Lynn in Pleasant Lake, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Happy to join you. I took a class at University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, at Schmeichle, and it's called the Wisconsin Master Naturalist Program. And it's a full week, and it's just a wonderful thing to be able to do. And there were probably over 20 people involved in that week, in everything from geology to monarch butterflies to people just doing phenology in their area where they live. So I would highly recommend that. And then to keep up on it, you can take classes all over the state that are offered. So you earn points for your classes and you connect with the DNR in that way. I got involved with the Ice Age Trail and also with the fish hatchery in Wild Rose. Mm. So there's all kinds of opportunities to volunteer. And, you know, I'm in my 60s. I'm retired. But it's just a great learning experience if you enjoy learning for the rest of your life.
Thank you very much, Lynn. So this is something that people can do throughout their lives. It can be a group activity. It can give you connection and being out in nature, which is pretty awesome. So talk to me about there are 25 different citizen scientists monitoring projects in the state. You're in charge of all of them.
Well, there are 25 that the DNR runs. There's many, many more that the DNR does not run.
Okay.
And each of those projects has an individual coordinator. Like Susan has said that, you know, she coordinates the Snapshot Wisconsin project. We have somebody coordinating our turtle project, somebody coordinating our bats and our mussels and et cetera, et cetera. And then, again, there's projects run by universities, nature centers, nonprofits. So there's many, many options for people to get involved.
The Bumblebee Brigade. This is something that I just love saying, to be perfectly honest. It's a recent citizen-based project from the DNR. Walk us through that program.
Right. So this is a project that I do coordinate, the Wisconsin Bumblebee Brigade. This is our newest project. It's not officially rolled out yet. We're kind of doing a pilot year this year. So look for it next year. We're going to be rolling it out throughout the state. It's a photography-based monitoring project of our state's native bumblebees. We have 20 different species of native bumblebees here in Wisconsin, and we know that one of them is federally listed as endangered. An additional 7 are what the state considers to be species of greatest conservation need. An additional 3 are what's called species with information needs. And that means we know so little about them that we can't even make a call as to whether or not they are in decline or rising or need conservation assistance. So if you add those up, that means we have 11 of our 20 species that we know we need information, we need conservation help with. So we're very excited next year to be rolling this out throughout the state. We're going to have people going out, photographing bumblebees, submitting those pictures to us, and we'll be able to get a better distribution of all of our bumblebee species. We'll be able to find out if the populations are rising or falling and what some of the conservation threats might be.
So if I want to do this, how do I ensure that I don't get stung by a bumblebee?
Well, yeah, safety first for sure, like I mentioned earlier. Bumblebees are actually fairly docile. So, and our project is absolutely hands-off. There's no touching, there's no handling, there's no netting of any kind with our bumblebees. And you can take a picture within feet of the bumblebee and it will not get stressed at all. So as long as you are, you know, not doing something that you shouldn't be doing by grabbing it or shaking the bush that it's on or anything like that, you should probably be pretty safe.
We are talking about the Citizen Science Program in the state of Wisconsin. Give us a call, 800-642-1234. Katie from Janesville, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I heard you talking about the snapshot and with Susan. Our FFA advisor actually just had given my kids the information earlier last fall, actually. And they had opened up the Black River Falls area for elk monitoring. We've got three of those cameras. And it has been a real learning experience. The cameras that we've got set up, I have a son who's very proficient with trail cams. And it's time that I can spend with my kids because it's about an hour and 20 minutes away from our home.
Mm-hmm.
So we travel, we talk, and then we're out in the woods for about 2 hours going out and monitoring these cameras and the tracking that we're able to see. One of our trail cams we're really looking forward to because we've been able to see wolf sign as well as the elk sign. We just have to catch them on camera. And then when you get the pictures back and you start looking, we've seen porcupines and a river otter and tons of deer, but it's just getting out there and getting time with the kids. It's amazing. And I got to thank Susan. She's walked me through the whole thing. It's absolutely wonderful.
Thank you, Katie. So you have a satisfied customer. Actually, this sounds really great. If you live in a city, if you live in an urban environment, you go an hour and 20 minutes out into the woods, and you can actually collect data that you would never see. You could see a porcupine.
Yeah.
You could maybe see a wolf or an elk if they can spot them. Talk to me about how the responses that you've gotten that are like this.
Yeah. Thanks, Katie, for calling. It's great to talk to you again. Yeah, folks like Katie are super enthusiastic about the project. You know, we get calls all the time about the really interesting wildlife photos that they're seeing and the experiences that they're having when they're going out to check the cameras. You know, the Elk Project is a particularly interesting opportunity for folks to get involved because people are so passionate about the elk that have been mm-hmm. reintroduced. They love the opportunity to maybe go out and even see an elk when they're out checking their camera, which has happened a couple times. And my volunteers always call and they're like, Susan, we saw an elk when we were out checking the camera. And it's always fun to get these reports while I'm sitting in the office. But yeah, it's great for folks like Katie to get involved with their kids.
Just quickly, have you started analyzing that elk data yet?
Absolutely. The elk cameras have been out for about 3 years. So we've been using those cameras to get the some supplementary data for the population estimates for the elk. And it's really gone into, it's one of the tools that they use to figure out the population of the elk, along with very intensive on-the-ground monitoring of the actual elk and using GPS collars.
And I know that there's controversy about hunting elk. We're not going to get into that, but they can't hunt at the same place where you're monitoring, right? So it's safe to monitor.
Oh, it's certainly safe to monitor. We do always, you know, give people advice, like during the 9-day gun season, to maybe stay out. But we also have people that are hunters.
Who also are hunters.
Yep.
We are talking about the Citizen Scientist Program with two people from the DNR. We're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Tell us what you do and how you participate in the Citizen Science Program. Are you listening to the show and you just heard Katie and maybe you want to participate? 800-642-1234. We're going to talk more about how you can get involved in a moment. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Wisconsin, like many states, has a program for ordinary residents, even visitors, to get involved in collecting data for the Department of Natural Resources. The Citizen Science Program is free, and you don't need some special training to start, but you don't need a degree. People who run it are pretty confident, though, that you will learn a lot if you participate. Susan Frett coordinates Snapshot Wisconsin, a volunteer-based project for wildlife monitoring at the DNR, and Eva Lewandowski is the citizen-based monitoring coordinator for the DNR. Do you conduct research for the Citizen Science Project? Are you a professional researcher? What are your thoughts on citizens collecting data? Have you gotten your kids involved in citizen science, and do they enjoy it? 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call to share your experiences with us, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We do have a caller, Eileen from Lancaster. Eileen, welcome to the program. Eileen, we're having trouble getting her on. So I'm going to turn to you guys in the studio. Hold on, Eileen. We're trying to patch you through. There are some advocates for using open source hardware-based equipment to provide amateur scientists better tools, like using 3D printers and stuff like that. Can either of you see that being implemented in this program? Eva?
A lot of the tools that I've seen are more, like you said, they're more microscopes or water testing, analyses, things like that. So they're not...
Do you provide the water testing when they have to do that? Do you provide the kits to water test, or do we citizen scientists have to actually buy them ourselves?
Yeah. So for our water monitoring programs, we have both stream and lake monitoring. We are able to provide a certain number, just based on the funding situation. And we prioritize certain sites throughout the state to make sure we get good coverage, and we'll provide as many kits as we can. There are lots of instances where watershed groups or other nonprofit organizations will go out and try to seek their own additional funding to purchase additional kits to supplement that. And occasionally you might have volunteers who are paying out of pocket as well. I think that's much, much less likely. It's usually coming from either the DNR or some other organization.
So are we ramping up sort of the use of technology in this? What are you guys discussing?
Certainly. For Snapshot in particular, we are looking at ways of doing automated classifications of our photos. We actually have 21 million photos that have come in already from our cameras. So it's pretty overwhelming. And there is a lot of research going on into finding ways to automatically classify photos. And we are specifically looking at that for Snapshot for weeding out any human photos that we might get, because we're not interested in those, and also getting rid of blank photos. We get a lot of blanks from waving vegetation, but we always want to have people involved in actually classifying the wildlife photos, because the photos are so engaging to folks. They love to see them, and people are always going to be able to see things that a computer could never recognize. You know, a rare species, for example, a computer's not going to pick up on that if it's not expecting it. So,
okay, so I want to do this. Let's say I want to do this, and how do I get involved? What are the first steps to getting involved?
Yeah, you can sign up to participate in Snapshot by finding out more info on our webpage, dnr.wi.gov, keyword Snapshot Wisconsin. Okay. There's a link there to our sign-up application. There's also a link there to go to our Zooniverse site, which is where you can classify all those photos. And you can find out more information, how to sign up for our newsletter there as well.
And we're going to have it. We're going to have a link on our website too, I think. Eva, if I like a particular animal, and I can't think of an animal right now. It's too early in the morning. So, but I like a particular animal, and I want to track that animal. I call you to see if you guys are tracking that animal. How does that work?
Well, yeah, you could definitely give me a call. I get a lot of calls and emails from the public. All that information is also available online. So if you're somebody who's somewhat, computer savvy, or you're comfortable going online and doing a quick search, you can either go to the DNR website, dnr.wi.gov, and just search for volunteer, and you'll see a list of all the volunteer websites. That will also take you to the Wisconsin Citizen-Based Monitoring Network website, which has a list of 180 to 190 different projects. So there's multiple ways, either phone, email, or the website might be the quickest and easiest.
We are talking about citizen science in Wisconsin. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. ideas at WPR.org is the email address, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. So Eileen from Lancaster did call. She says 4-H has added categories for trail cam pictures, and she says trail cameras make it easier for people to participate in nature photography. So this is what you're doing, Susan, yes?
Yes, that is definitely what we're doing. And we get beautiful wildlife photos from our trail cameras. We also get some not so great ones. But yeah, it's a great way. And we like to use our photos for outreach, but mm-hmm. it's a great tool for 4-H kids to participate in 4-H. And we actually have built connections with 4-H for Snapshot to try to reach out to those folks and get them involved in Snapshot across the state. So
you've reached out to teachers, science teachers, yep. who are getting their kids involved in 4-H clubs. Who else are you talking to?
Sure. We have connections with Boy Scout groups, Girl Scouts, nature camps, nature centers. The UW Arboretum has a couple of our cameras.
Oh.
Yeah. So...
So if you want to get started in this, the first thing to do might be to go to the Arboretum and see what they have, and then see, is there information that we can get there for other citizen science projects that we can do?
The Arboretum is definitely a great partner. They do a number of different citizen science projects. They're actually the core of the bumblebee monitoring currently in Wisconsin. They do bird monitoring, rare plant monitoring. They have bat monitoring set up there. So that's a great place to go if you're interested. If you live somewhere where there's a nature center nearby, nature centers are oftentimes sort of hubs for many of our citizen science projects. So that's another good option. Mm. The caller earlier who mentioned the Wisconsin Master Naturalist, she was really hitting the nail on the head as well. The Master Naturalist program is one of our primary partners.
So talk to me about that.
Yeah, the Wisconsin Master Naturalist program is a service program. You take 40 hours of learning and you get up to date on all sorts of things about the nature, the history, the geology of Wisconsin. And then you pledge to volunteer 40 hours each year, and you can volunteer in citizen science or in stewardship or in environmental education. And so they're volunteers who are being trained in citizen science, who are then pledging to go out and conduct citizen science. And I think she mentioned, too, you do advanced trainings every year as well, and oftentimes those are in citizen science. So it's a really terrific way if you're feeling like, oh, I don't know, this might be a little intimidating. You can go through these courses. They're offered throughout the state. You can take them in a condensed week-long, or there's ones that it'll be every Saturday for, 3 months until you meet the 40 hours. It's a terrific way to get a little bit of training, meet other people who are interested, and learn about a variety of volunteer options.
We are talking about citizen science in Wisconsin. You can participate. You can go out and you can collect data that scientists will use for their research. We are taking your stories in the few minutes we have left, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. We did, Rob from Crandon emailed us. He writes, I'm heading to Leona School Forest in two hours to discuss placements of the first snapshot camera in the Forest County. Yay! Is this something that you've been working with him on?
I'm not sure. I have several colleagues at the office that might have been working with Ron. Mm-hmm. But I think he might have actually been at the Wisconsin Natural Resources Volunteer Summit this past spring. So
okay. And so you can do that. What is it? Talk to me about this summit.
Yeah, that was actually Eva's kind of thing.
Okay.
So
We periodically have conferences, usually every other year. And in this spring, in March, we coordinated a huge partnership between Master Naturalist and the Wisconsin Citizen-Based Monitoring Network. Actually, we had over 200 people all come to Eau Claire, where we shared ideas, we listened to talks, we had poster sessions and workshops and trainings all about citizen science and other volunteer opportunities. So again, this is something that we do periodically, just a way to network and connect people to the training and the resources they need to get involved.
So we also had another caller, James from Kimberly, called. He says he and his wife go to Heckrot Nature Center, and you mentioned bats earlier. Mm-hmm. They use sonar to monitor bats. Do you give them the sonar equipment?
So the DNR does have a kind of a lending program for these acoustic bat monitoring devices. They can be pretty pricey, although some of the newer versions are decreasing in price. So you can borrow them from the DNR, or a lot of these nature centers or sometimes schools serve as hubs, and they'll lend out their equipment so that as many people can use them as possible.
So I want to do this, Eva. I'm going to go to a website. What website am I going to go to?
Go to the DNR website. That's dnr.wi.gov, and search for volunteer. And you'll be able to see a list of all of the citizen science opportunities that the DNR offers, as well as take a link to the statewide network to see all of the opportunities outside of the DNR.
And Susan, if I wanted to go to, what do you do? You Snapshot Wisconsin?
Yep, Snapshot Wisconsin. Again, dnr.wi.gov, keyword Snapshot Wisconsin to go to our webpage.
We have been talking about the Citizen Science Program at the Department of Natural Resources. It is free. It gets people out into nature. It provides valuable information for scientists. As one caller said, it gets you to spend time with your kids, quality time with your kids, actually doing something with them. Susan Frett is a research scientist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. She coordinates Snapshot Wisconsin, a volunteer-based project for wildlife monitoring. Susan, thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Eva Lewandowski is the citizen-based monitoring coordinator for the Department of Natural Resources. Eva, thank you for being with us.
Great to be here. Thanks.
So I'm heading out to the woods. You have convinced me that I need to be a citizen scientist. It sounds like a fascinating and pretty comfortable thing to do. I'm Carrie Kaufman. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.